EFTM. Tech, cars, lifestyle. This is the EFTM podcast with Trevor Long. EFTM.
G'day, g'day. Welcome to the EFTM podcast. Great to have your company. Thanks for being with me. I know it doesn't matter to you, but I'm standing up because I thought, you know what? Feels good. It's good to stretch the back and, just be off my ass. I'm sitting down all day. Well, that has been a busy day. We have, can't really talk about, wait for Two Blokes Talking Tech. There's embargoed launch information from one of the biggest brands in technology with new products coming out this year. So we'll talk about that on Two Blokes Talking Tech, but that took up most of my morning chasing around doing that, as well as all the radio that I do on a Tuesday. Thank you to everyone who got in touch about filling in on the night shift with Lukey Boy at the end of last week. Did a few hours chatting ridiculous chats in the middle of the night, which was a bit of fun, and all good. So most importantly, though, if you've got a tech question, if this is your first time listening, wow, welcome. I need to do the research. I don't know how long I've been doing this show. Going back to Your Tech Life. Your Tech Life, going to say, well, so 2007 was Chip for Brains at 2GB. Then I went to SBS. I think I was still doing it. Then they changed it. I don't know. It must be maybe 2010. Maybe 2009, 10. I'll look it up. It's going on 14, 15 years, right, of just this same dribble here on this same feed. Obviously, it has changed names. And I don't dramatically regret that. But anyway, it's been an evolution over the years, and mainly because of the year or so at Talking Lifestyle doing the nightly radio show. It was a punish to do nightly talk back and then also do a podcast. So I think that was about the time when we pulled up stumps, didn't we? And then went to just chatting gibberish with the boys from EFTM. So yeah, it was a different thing. Anyway, your calls are welcome and I'll get to your emails. There's a few people on the line to talk about everything from podcasts themselves and iPods and much more. So very cool. Now, I have in my hand a product that I've heard a little bit about, but I'm finally getting to play with it. And it is rechargeable batteries. And you're thinking, good one, idiot, they've been around forever. And yes, they are. I remember when Billy Crichton was the boss of Sanyo in Australia. We were doing digital radio deals and stuff at 2GB. And we were also giving away Anyloop rechargeable batteries. They were Sanyo Anyloop. Panasonic, I think, ended up buying the Anyloop part of the Sanyo business. But anyway, there was these Anyloop batteries. And one of the things they were big on was, you know, out of the box, they had charge. They would retain charge very well. Actually, if you look at the Anyloop brand now, it still says holds up to 85% of charge after a year. They also proudly say made in Japan. I think that's a slight on the amount of cheap Chinese batteries there are. Now, to be clear, you can buy a four-pack of rechargeable batteries for $10 on Amazon, and there's those IKEA ones. We're testing those at home. My daughter's testing those for me. But these are different because you recharge them with USB-C. That's right, USB-C. And I just realized I've got a USB port right next to me here and I can plug it in. Just wondering if there's a light on them or something. So I don't think there is. So how do you know they're charging? So it comes with this one USB-A to four USB-C splitter, and there's four, in this case, triple A's, but there's also a pack of double A's. And just looking on Amazon, triple A's, $50 for four. So you're paying, you know, a little over $10 per battery. But in theory, you know, this is environmental brilliance because you don't have a big, bulky charging block brick. 1.9-hour charge time, 1,000 charge cycles, built-in LED charging indicator. Well, this thing's obviously not plugged in. Hang on. What if I plug it into the Mac?
I'm just moving around here.
Oh, plug in. Oh, wow. Oh, wow. Yeah. No, the whole top, if you imagine the top of your AA or AAA battery is, you know, it's metal, but the ring around the edge. So the whole top of it is an LED. And so I can see that they're charging. That is very cool. Look at me reviewing in real time. Lithium ion, rechargeable batteries, 1% for the planet. I don't know what that means. But anyway, recharge, reuse, restore. It's actually not a bad little. It comes in this plastic case, which they say is a travel case. I say It's the most complicated packaging in the world. You need like a little screwdriver to undo it. It comes in like a cardboard packaging, and the plastic that it comes in, they say, is a travel case. I actually think, and this is going to be a slight on the people at Pale Blue, but I feel like that's their way of trying to get out of the environmental regulations which require cardboard packaging, not plastic. So they're saying they're actually selling you this case. I don't see myself using batteries in a travel sense, but I do love the idea of rechargeable batteries. But having those big brick chargers around is painful. So maybe the USB-C recharging is the ultimate way to do it. And to be clear, I know this is not a brand new concept, but it's still pretty bloody cool. Like you can buy 2 9-volt batteries rechargeable. These are Pale Blue is the brand. So I'm going to check Amazon, right? Battery, let's type, this is stimulating podcasting. Is it rechargeable? Not recyclable. Rechargeable battery. And I'm going to write USB-C. And I'm assuming there's a bunch of brands. Oh, I'm going to put AAA or AA because obviously it brings up like power banks and things. Yeah, there isn't. Oh, there's definitely other brands. But like I see one here that's micro USB. Mate, dude, if you haven't updated to USB-C, I'm out. Here's one that is a bigger pack for $60, but international shipping. So let's go ships from Australia, which is always my number one filter on Amazon. Ships from Australia. If you don't ship from Australia, I'm out. I don't want your international stuff. Yeah, I think these are probably the premium brand online on certainly on Amazon. Pale Blue. Check them out, folks. Love the idea. If you're someone that goes through batteries like we do in our house, the upfront expense is the kicker, right? You've got to spend good money up front. But it reminds me of the analogy that Epson gave when they launched the EcoTank printers. And I'll stuff it up here, but they came out with a packet of disposable razor blade, a Gillette, you know, razor with the, you put new blades on, and then a electric trimmer. And they basically said that the disposable ones, they're the $50 printers that have $100 ink cartridges. Then at the top end, you've got a $400 printer that the ink lasts a year or two and costs like $60-$70 to refill. So it's that you're burdening the upfront cost. That's the big burden on you, is the upfront cost, not the day-to-day usage and ongoing stuff. So if you've got the capital, as we say in business, if you've got the capital, get the batteries up front and save theoretically. Like we go to Bunnings and buy like a pack of 60 batteries. I don't even know what I'm paying for those, but we need them. So if we stop those payments, then we end up with a pretty good situation. Anyway, that's enough of me rabbiting on. This is EFTM. Thank you for listening. Trevor Long here, taking your calls, gibbering away. Two Blokes Talking Tech on Thursday night in the Two Blokes Talking Tech feed. If you're listening in the EFTM feed, leave a rating and a review. If you're listening in Two Blokes, welcome. Great to have your company. And this is Talkback Technology. Trevor Long, taking your calls. If you've got a tech question or you want to have a chat about something in the world of tech or cars, get in touch. Go to the website, EFTM.com. George did that. G'day, George. How you doing?
Yeah, well, mate. Yourself?
Yeah, really good, buddy. What can I do for you?
Just inquiring. I've got a 80 gig original Apple iPod.
Yeah, how original? What are we talking? Like, can you describe it to me?
One of the first ones ever.
Now, does it have the raised buttons on the front around the circle?
No, they're all flat.
Right, so it's the one after the original then, let's be clear. It's not a first generation.
Oh, yeah, okay, yeah.
Yeah. But, okay, yeah, but so does it have the circle and, like, play, pause, menu buttons above it?
Oh, I think so, Trevor, I think so. I'm currently out of my truck. I've got it with me in the truck.
Oh, you got it with you in the truck? Bloody hell.
Yeah.
So do you still use it?
I do.
So you have all your music loaded and you're on long haul and you're just playing it through the iPod.
I do indeed, mate, yes.
And do you ever load new music onto it? Or can you not anymore?
No, I don't know. I haven't tried. Because I obviously have an Apple iPhone.
Yeah.
So when I'm out of service, I use the iPod.
So you do stream music on your phone, like Apple Music or whatever, or Spotify?
Yeah, I do, yep.
And then when you're out of service, you use the iPod. And an original iPod at that.
Yes.
That's wild.
So, yeah, it's got the menu button on the top of the circle, then the play pause, and yeah, and then the... So
just to be clear, the circle itself has the menu button on it, or are there four circular buttons above the big main circle?
No, the circle itself has the menu button on
it. Right, yeah, and then is it black or white?
Black.
Nice.
Black with a chrome back.
And when the screen's on, do you think the screen is colour or black and white?
It's colour.
Yeah, so I reckon it's probably a sixth or seventh generation.
Okay.
Is it scratched or in good nick? What's it look like?
No, it's in pretty good nick considering. I brought it from Harvey Norman back in the day when they first come out.
Yeah.
So I don't know how long ago that was. But,
mate, in reality, that thing's it's probably worth a couple $100.
Yeah, okay.
So it's not like it's a collector's item, but, mate, I'm blown away that you're still using it. Like, that's awesome.
Well, I tried getting through on Friday, but I couldn't get through to yourself and Adam.
Yeah, we're talking on the night shift with Lukey Barney, yeah.
On the night shift, yeah. And so I thought, Barbara, I'll send you an email.
Oh, you're a legend, mate. I really appreciate you doing that. Did you enjoy the show? What time are you listening at night? Are you an overnight truckie?
Yeah, 2 o'clock in the morning. I normally get in the truck, so, yeah.
Right, bloody hell. And where do you drive from and to normally?
At the moment, down in Hobart, in Tassie, driving up to Pusher Park, getting a load of hops, and then I run the hops up to Sprayton, up the top end of the state.
It just feels like a game of Farming Simulator to me. Have you ever seen that?
Yeah, I have.
Like, that is wild to me. What you just described is what I need to do on Farming Simulator after I've bloody harvested the crop. I'm going to go and get my truck.
That's roughly what it is.
Mate, I've got to ask you this quickly before you go because I know you're busy. But have you seen the people that do actual trucking simulator as well?
I have seen the video game, yeah.
Mate, there are people that have built in their homes like rigs, cabins. Like prime mover cabins. Like the seat, you know, nice big bouncy seat. And they've got big wraparound monitors. So they are trucking when they're at home. Can you, like, mate, when you're at home, you don't want anything to do with a truck, do you?
No, definitely not. It's bad enough to have the truck in your driveway, Trevor.
All right, George, I'll let you get back to it, mate. Enjoy that bloody iPod. I love the fact that you're still using it and that it still works, mate.
No, it does. Works. It does need to charge. Just check it. It needs charging. Anyway, it does still work. Holds all my photos and... I don't know, it's got that many songs on it, I don't know how many. It's got more than what my phone has anyway.
And more than what you need too.
Yeah, exactly right.
Good on you, Georgie. Thanks, mate. Good on you. Thanks for getting in touch.
Easy, Trevor.
Cheers, buddy.
Thanks, mate.
No worries. George there. So a backstory there, I should say, because George referenced, couldn't get through to me and Adam. So a lot of people know I do the night shift with Luke Boner on Triple M every Tuesday morning at about 4:30 we chat. But last week I went in at midnight on Thursday night into Friday morning, and we did 3 hours with Adam McDonald. He runs a company called All Bids, I think it is, down in Canberra, and used to be on Aussie Pickers. And just kick him back, we just chatted for 3 hours about politics and the worries of the world and took a few calls. So Georgie was on hold and didn't get through and thought he'd send me an email, as a legend he is. What about that, though? George is still using... a pretty OG. Now, the funny thing there, so Adam obviously works at an auction house and is a picker and knows value of things. We had a few people ring up about value of things. And, like, I'm just looking on eBay. And, yeah, I mean, if you had the one with the buttons, you might talk $500. If you had, like, a proper OG original one and original packaging, you might get a few grand. But, see... That's the thing to me. I've got probably the same model. Like, I see one on eBay that's $2,741. It's got an original box, but it's used because I can, you know, the click wheel, the wheel that you rub your finger around, you can kind of see that it's been used. Like, you can see the discoloration of it. So while it's still in a box and all that, which is great, that probably adds hundreds, if not 1,000 to the value. It's still not actually original. Maybe $800,000 for the original with buttons, but out of the box and all that. Here's a unit. I'm on eBay still. Original iPod sealed unit in original packaging. $7,000. Now, I don't want to say I'm tempted. See, the weird thing is it says sealed in packaging, but then they've opened the box. So the iPod was within two pieces of plastic, like hard plastic, and then inside the box was everything else, so you can kind of see all the other bits of it. the headphones are still there. A lot of stuff there in this unit for $7,000. I don't know. It's 20 gigabyte. 20 gigabyte iPod. It's just like, it's amazing to think. So the selling point, right, for the young ones among us, the selling point of the iPod, and this is, you know, going back in the day, was that it holds over 4,000 songs at near CD quality on a 20 gig hard drive. 10 hours of battery life, continuous playback. 4,000 songs, mate, I've got 40 million songs in my hand with Apple Music. So that just shows how far we've come. But I'm going to close that browser window and walk away so that I don't think about buying it, because I don't need it and I'm not going to get it. So walk away, Trev. If you got something of value, maybe I'll buy it from you. I did offer to buy something on the night shift. I can't remember what it was, but I was offering bids, but they were knocked back, disappointingly. Anyway, something's only worth what someone's willing to pay. EFTM podcast.
This is the EFTM podcast. EFTM.
Thank you for listening. Great to have your company. If you've got a tech question, you know where to go. EFTM.com. David's on the line. G'day, David.
Hey, Trevor. How are you going?
Yeah, real good, mate. What can I do for you?
Mate, just chatting about podcasts. Creature Habit here with Android. Had Google Podcasts for years, and it's been a good platform. And they're about to can it in, I think, start of April this year.
Isn't it wild that Google just walks away from something as big as podcasting, and also something that's so big to Apple? Like, Apple kind of created the podcast environment. They got the podcast app, yet Google goes, yeah, nah, we'll just move on from that.
And the other thing is they're just basically merging it across to YouTube Music, which is, you know, I don't know how many people really use YouTube Music, to be honest.
I hear about people using it, but I don't know of any sane person that's paying a subscription to YouTube Music and enjoying it. So, look, I think if you were truly smart with your money, which I am not, I have to be clear, a YouTube premium subscription, which I have, gives me ad-free YouTube, right? Big tick, which also means I can use YouTube Music and listen to music. But I don't believe for a second that YouTube Music is anywhere near as good as either Spotify or Apple Music or Tidal, which I also pay for, as a music subscription service. So, what a weird place to listen to podcasts.
No, well, because I opened up YouTube Music and didn't even realize I actually had it probably already on my phone as part of, a Galaxy S21 Ultra.
Yep.
And I had a look at it, and you got to make about four or five different clicks to get through to where podcasts are and stuff like that. So it's a little bit clunky, and it's, yeah, because predominantly as a platform, it's music, not so much podcasts. And that was the beauty of Google Podcasts. It was, you open it up, and it's just basically your playlists and your subscriptions that are automatically there. So
yeah,
purely for podcasts.
Have you ever tried Spotify? Because I would think Spotify is the same. The podcasts are buried deep, but if you use it only for podcasts, they'll be on your kind of homepage.
Yeah, look, I've got Spotify as well, but I've pretty much only really ever listened to Joe Rogan on that when I've got about 4 hours to kill. And
isn't that one of wild, his podcasts, mate?
But if I'm doing a drive back from Melbourne or something like that, I'll listen to a Joe Rogan one. But to be honest, after an hour, you start to tune out, to be honest. You kind of get, unless it's someone really, really interesting, otherwise you get a little bit bored, anything over an hour.
Yeah, mate, I'm with you 100%. That's why I said to Stephen, the EV podcast, we have to do 30 minutes because this is not it's our area of knowledge and expertise, but let's not kid ourselves. We could be quite boring on an hour, whereas tech, we can rabbit on for an hour and a bit, right? But Joe Rogan, you've got to really want to love the person on the other end of the microphone to want to listen for 3 hours. I've had big comedians I listen to on Joe, and I've listened to the full 3 hours over 3 weeks. Like, it's taken me that long to get that much time.
Oh, yeah, 100%. He punches out two or three of those a week at that
Wild, isn't it? But, you know, mate, when you're getting $200 million, I'll tell you right now, if someone paid me $200 million, I'd punch out a podcast to a day. I'd do two a day.
Yeah, easy. For that money.
So, mate, have you tried Pocket Casts?
No, that's the other one. Because I started Googling a few to see what's out there, and, of course, you get a lot of different suggestions. Yeah. But,
I know one of the things people didn't like about Pocket Cast was that it ended up coming with a subscription fee for, I think, for a certain level of usage. But it is, without question in my mind, the best podcast app on any platform, like any platform. Yep. And you can use it across – if you pay – I think the thing is if you pay a subscription, you can then – like have your library on your computer as well. There might be a small fee for extra storage. I don't know. Matt, try Pocket Cast for sure.
Okay.
The other sleeper I'd try is Amazon Music.
Okay, yep.
Because Amazon Music got into podcasts, and the thing is if you're using Spotify or Apple Music for your music, then you could just use Amazon Music for podcasts.
Yep.
And they do have a few exclusives as well. That Smartless that Fennec loves is on there with Jason Bateman. So there's definitely some good stuff on Amazon Music.
Yeah, I have listened to that Smartless one before, but I found it really hard to listen to sometimes because there's the three blokes on there talking plus a guest sometimes, and they speak pretty fast and over the top of each other a lot, and it's I watched the Netflix show that they had where they did their podcast tour in the States.
Like a behind the scenes thing,
you could watch them and you could figure out who was doing what and things like that. But when you're listening to them, once you've got four people on the mics, they start to talk over each other a bit. And
how much time do you spend a week listening to podcasts, do you reckon?
Probably a good 3 to 5, between mowing the lawns and going walking and things like that and, commuting in the car and stuff like that. So
commuting? How far do you drive? You're out in Griffith, aren't you?
Yeah, look, commuting's only about 5 minutes.
What, are you going to Ugali?
No, mate. Wouldn't go that far on a holiday, mate.
No. Just for people that don't know, Ugali's like a 6-minute drive from the centre of Griffith.
No. You don't need your passport for that one.
You do the laps of Banner Avenue, mate. That's it.
I do. No, between running the kids to sport and all that kind of stuff, I'll see you're out and about and a bit and stuff like that.
Yeah, fair call.
But no, look, it's one of those things you can just, like I said, mow the lawn and mow the mother-in-law's lawn and do a few other things and stop and start and clean the car and, all those things, you just chuck it on and listen to it or what have you, you know what I mean? So,
well, mate, I'd love you to try Pocket Cast and let me know whether there's any barriers there with a subscription. I'd be interested to know how Apple Music goes. So, mate, be my beta tester on Android and let me know. Because the thing is, if you're on an iPhone, it's just like, okay, I've been using, let's say you chose to use Google Podcast or Pocket Cast. You're like, they've kind of shut it down. Well, Apple Podcast is always going to be there. So it's fascinating to me that there's no default fallback position for Google other than a strange integration with YouTube Music.
Yeah. So, I'll keep digging through it and I'll report back.
All right, mate. You're a legend. Thanks, buddy.
Too easy. Catch you later.
Good on you, David. David's out in Griffith, and obviously that's where I was born and went through year 7 to 10 at high school. So I'm across the area. It's one of the towns, and I say this with quite a smile on my face. It's one of the towns where the radio station claims me. So when I do Griffith, I should find the intros and play them all to you one day. It's quite funny to listen to. They have an intro that is, it's Siri, like saying, Trevor Long is a technology commentator. Like she reads it out, Griffith born and bred, all that kind of stuff. And then when I do Triple M, so that's Triple M Griffith. When I do Triple M Gosford with Paddy and Maz, Paddy's always like, you're minor boy. Went to Woi Woi High, lived in Australia Avenue, your minor, which I did, from year 10 to that year 10 would be 92. So I lived there for like 5 years, but like I don't really have where I live now, I've been here like 20 years, like 18, yeah, it'd be 18, 19 years. So this is the longest I've ever lived anywhere. This is my home. This is my area. It's just funny. But it's nice to have some local knowledge on things. EFTM, if you want to get in touch, you know where to go, EFTM.com.
EFTM.
This is the EFTM podcast.
EFTM podcast.
Lovely to have you company. If you've got a question, you know where to go. Christian's on the line. G'day, Christian. How you doing, mate?
Hello. Well, thank you.
What can I do for you?
I've got to remember now. It was only last week, but eSIM.
Yeah, what's happening with eSIMs? Have you got one, or are you trying to merge two phones? What's your situation?
Yeah, that's it. Thinking about getting one. Sick of carrying around two phones. I've got work phone and personal phone. personal phone's an 8 plus, so it's sort of
getting on in life.
A few questions and queries on how the two numbers interact together on the one phone.
So the biggest thing, I just can't stand people who carry two phones. I'm like, why are you doing this? People who carry two phones have always got a really good one. One of them's really good because it's probably their work phone or something like that, right? So it's been issued.
Yeah.
But that is also where it comes down. So there are a very small number of circumstances. Let's say you work in the military or in a bank or in government where they own the phone and, frankly, there's restrictions on it. So, for example, I got a mate who works in government, can't use TikTok. So he's got a separate phone for that because, you know, like you want to have a life outside of work.
That's with TikTok, yeah.
But if you don't have any major restrictions on your phone, and remember the person that owns your phone, if it is your business, your employer, they might also have the right to erase your phone if you defame them or, you know, take them legally or whatever, you know. So just remember that little tidbit. But outside of that, having an eSIM and a physical SIM, or remember with a more modern phone like an iPhone, I'm going to say 12 onwards, they had the ability to have multiple eSIMs. It's really quite simple. Here's how it works. When you install the second SIM, it says, do you want this to be the primary number? So you kind of say yes or no. Then it says, which SIM do you want to be your data SIM? So at any point in time, you can only have one SIM that is your data. Now, most people are going to go, I'll use the work SIM for that if someone else is paying. But basically it's like if you were to play a really smart game and go, I'm going to get an Aldi SIM that I paid $20 for and it lasts a year and anyone can ring me on that number, boom, that's my secondary SIM. But then I'm going to buy a, you know, Kogan Mobile 300 gigabyte plan for 12 months and make that my data SIM, but I'll never give out that phone number. Then you've got these kind of two things running side by side. But critically, you can have both phone numbers work. It's only the data that's kind of exclusive to choice. You have to choose which one is your data. And you can switch it at any point. It's very easy to switch back to the other data plan. But both phone numbers will ring and you can assign a SIM to a contact. So let's say your work boss, you can assign them to your work SIM. Work contacts can be your work SIM. Yeah, your family and friends can be your private SIM so that when you dial those people, you're dialing them from the correct SIM card. So they get when the phone rings, they know who it is. But yeah, mate, it's pretty easy. Like it says primary and you can label them, by the way. You can label them primary and secondary or like TPG and Telstra or, you know, work and home, all that kind of stuff. So, man, at the very least, I'd give it a try for a month. At the very least.
Right, yeah.
Do you know if the telco that you want to, so on the iPhone 8, do they have eSIM availability?
At this stage, well, that's the other thing. I'm sort of looking at changing or if I have to change to a eSIM. I know the work phone, which is the better phone, is just the physical SIM there. You know, I've asked them about eSIMs and whatnot, but they're like, no, they don't want to know anything about it. Your phone is your phone.
Sounds too complicated. We're not getting involved.
As you've got it, that's how we'll support it.
Yeah.
So whether or not we change and just go either another plan, and, you know, I'd probably wouldn't need as much data as you said. I'd probably using the work data. But it was mainly, I think the main thing was the phone calls. If I'm making a call out from the phone, I just want to make sure that, you know, if it's for a work purpose, it's being calling out on a work number.
Yep.
And then obviously, if it's for an incoming call or a personal call, either incoming or outgoing, just making sure that my number, my personal number is being used. So people aren't getting confused and whatnot.
All of it, all of which is something to learn. Let's be clear. It's not, you know, out of the box. Oh, it just knows that, you know, Johnny in your contacts is a personal contact, not work. So I feel like the first time you bring up the contact and you make a call from a dual SIM once you've enabled it, the option exists to choose which SIM to call from. And the reason I know that it associates kind of contacts with a particular number is because when I switch from when I land in the US, I turn on my eSIM on this very phone I'm talking to you on. I've got a Boost SIM here in Australia, but then when I land in overseas, I use like an AT&T SIM in America. And if there's contact, lots of contacts in the phone. When I do that and I try and call someone, it says default line not available. Are you okay to call them still or something? So it's like saying, you know, when you call them, you're going to be using a different number. So it kind of, if you were to remove the physical SIM, it will actually second guess whether it should call from your personal SIM to that other number, which is good because you kind of want that fallback and failover. But I've never had anyone complain about the logistics of an eSIM, or sorry, of a dual SIM. So, mate, I think it's a game changer. You're like, you got one phone to charge, one phone to carry. My God, so good.
That's it. And then I suppose you can also have work focus, set things to
music to my ears,
on my radio mode. So that I'm not getting. So yeah, all right. So
if you do it right, work focus and home focus can be the true game changer in this situation, because in work focus mode, you could make it so only your wife and kids could call you, right? Other than your work contacts. In home focus mode, you could say, right, the boss can call me, but no one else. Like, you can be pretty restrictive. Plus, you can say, I want this homepage and not that homepage. You can delete pages from your, you know, six pages of apps and only show work ones and home ones. It's very good, very powerful when you muck around with that.
That one I haven't had a look at.
Yeah, so here's how you do it. If you've, like, on my phone here, I've got, I'm going to say one, two, three, I've only got three pages of apps, like widgets and apps on one and then just apps on the others. But if what you do is you make all the pages you need. So you make all of them side by side. So let's say there's six pages side by side, three of them are home and three of them are work. And you can have the same app across, like, page one and page four can have, you know, the EFTM app can be on both, for example, right? But then what you do is in the focus mode, you edit the homepage and those pages, you can tick them. So you untick the home ones in work focus, and the opposite, you untick the work ones in home focus. And then when you switch focus modes, which, by the way, can happen automatically based on your location, awesome, you just see different apps. So the distraction of the work, you know, project management app or whatever it is not there at home time.
Yeah, the Microsoft Teams or the email. Yeah, all right.
It's life admin though, mate. It requires a bit of configuration and setup. So my advice is, if you're with TPG now, they do eSIMs. Get in touch with them, find out how it works for switching. So, you know, switching to an eSIM for existing customers. I don't know how that works, but they'll talk you through it. And just, mate, I reckon a month. I reckon you need a good month of back and forth, understanding what's frustrating, what's not. And to be honest, mate, I would love to talk again once you've done it, because if there is things that I've never noticed, I'd love to hear from you about it, right? And then at the same time, after you've settled in with the SIM cards, then play with the work focus mode and you'll become Apple Power User 101. It'd be brilliant.
All right, yeah. No, it sort of seems easier. Number one, it's easier than carrying around the two phones trying to find the two pockets and whatever. But look, the reason I haven't done anything is because it is easier just to, at 5 o'clock, put the work phone into a drawer, into a bag, and not look at it till Monday morning. But with work focus stuff, then yeah, I get that set up.
And mate, you can play around with that tonight. You could literally on your work phone just create a home focus.
Okay. All right.
So create another page of apps, which are just, you know, whatever, I don't know, social media or something, whatever, just some apps that aren't your work ones. Just create that one page, then create a home focus, and it's only that page. That's all it is. Now, remember, in all these situations, every app is available to use. You can swipe down and search for it at any point in time. But it's about what's on the screen in front of you to distract you, that the reason you hide them is so that they're not begging you to come to them. But also the home focus, you can say, I don't want notifications from all these apps. I only want notifications from the phone, like whatever. So I would play with that instantly then and begin that process of understanding that the work phone doesn't need to go away. It can just be less distracting.
Oh, that sounds good.
Good luck, mate. And definitely, I'd love to hear from you in a few weeks or whenever you feel comfortable, you know, sharing your experience, even if it's rubbish, mate. Honestly, right. If you hated it and you go back to two phones and physical sim, mate, I want to hear about it because I could be wrong.
I'll keep you in mind and either praise your
or
advice.
Kick me in the head. I got you.
unfollow. No.
Yeah, unsubscribe. All right, Christian, you're a legend, mate. Thanks for getting in touch.
I appreciate your time. Thanks for calling.
Good on you, mate. Thanks very much. I mean, there's so much to unpack there because it is genuinely, it's a bit of work to set up a focus mode on an iPhone, but it is also potentially very rewarding. I would love to hear from you if you have a solid set of focus modes going. At one point I had a weekend focus mode going. It was pretty cool, but I have this problem, and I know you're saying to me it's not real, but I feel it's a problem, where I do need to be connected all the time. You know, I can't switch off. It's like saying I'm going to get off social media. Well, it's kind of my business to be there. If I wasn't on social media, I wouldn't be making that content. I wouldn't be therefore getting that audience. It's, you know, it's a whole thing. So part of me would love to have a 9-to-5 job that allowed me to switch off. Just get a paycheck for a start. That'd be amazing. And just not like just watch TV at night and never open a laptop. It'd be amazing. But the best of those jobs are like concreters and builders who, mate, I could never do those jobs. I'm a weak, useless individual. So, yeah, count me out. Anyway, get in touch if you've got something to add to that. Well, let's keep going with calls. Trevor Long taking your calls. Adrian on the line. G'day, Adrian.
Hey, Trevor. How are you going?
Yeah, really good, mate. What can I do for you?
I was just wondering, in relation to Govee, like I've been a long-time supporter of Govee and it's just hard to get products into Australia, so I'm just wondering what we can do about that.
Where did your love and for support of Govee come from?
Well, it's just it's a cheaper brand. I've got lots of Philips Hue and a few other ones, but the Govee just give you, obviously, the RGB IC chips, which gives you a lot of flexibility in colour changing.
Yeah.
And yeah, but unfortunately you've got to buy it either from England or the States and use the crappy power adapters and all that other stuff.
So in Australia there are some Govee things at JB's, but you're saying nowhere near as much as you can get overseas.
No, they've got like four or five products, but obviously if you look at the overseas sites and things like that, you know, there's 20 or 30 different products available.
Are there other, you know, non-big brand products similar here in Australia? Like I think of the laser smart home stuff that they do at Harvey Norman. Is that like they've only really got the basic stuff, bulbs and things, so I guess it's much more fancy stuff that you want?
Just the different options. Like the I know the Australian laser brand that you're talking about, but the Govee gives you the outdoor lights. You can get around your eaves and fascias and all those sort of stuff.
Adrian. Are you married?
Yeah, I am, actually.
You what?
I am. Oh, yes, we are.
Really? Like, can your wife talk to my wife? My wife would lose her marbles if I suggested putting lights, frankly, outside of my office at home. Like, just, mate, you.
I'll let you in a little secret.
Yeah, go on, yeah.
We just put some curtains up in our new, we've just been doing some renos.
Yeah.
And had to build a pelmet for our new curtains and shears.
Yeah.
And my wife actually said to me, she goes, do you reckon you could put an LED strip light up in the pelmet? I reckon coming down the curtain and it looks fantastic.
Mate, you are living in some fairy tale land that I cannot imagine. Okay?
I was surprised.
Mate, I'll let you on a little secret, okay? We're renovating our bathrooms right now. And I bought Philips Hue downlights for like 12 of them, like there's four in each bathroom. She doesn't know. She just thinks they're lights. I just said, listen, I can pay for the lights out of the business because I can just, you know, do them as an upgrade. She doesn't know the smart lights. So one day when she's, I don't know, in the shower, I'm just going to turn the lights pink and she will lose her marbles. It'll be hilarious. But the problem
but she'll
with her.
Love it.
No, she won't. She'll absolutely hate it. The problem with that, though, is when, you know, when the switch is on, it's fine, but when someone switches the light off, you've lost control. So I'm still at that. I still have that problem, despite having spent big money on renovations. So I think getting back to your problem of Govee, I'll be completely honest with you. I'd never heard of them until you sent me an email.
Really?
Never heard of them. But then I looked it up and I'm like, God, they've got some, like, they've got some kit, you know? I'm amazed they're not on Amazon.
They're in Australia, not on Australian right? Amazon.
Yeah, not, you, that's again, what I mean,
again, you can pick up the
international ones.
You know, the odd one or two. You know, the Australian with the Australian power plugs and stuff. So you can do a little, you know, you can go to JCar or somewhere and get a power converter, and it's got to be the right voltage and amperage and, you know, all that sort of stuff. But
it must, you know, be the same distributor. Although looking at the Amazon store, and it's this must be the Australian store because I've chosen ship from Australia. Yeah, get it by tomorrow. How good's Amazon? Wi-Fi. They've got a few more things than Amazon than JB's. They've got the Wi-Fi sensor. They've got the thermometer. They've got a few extra things that I don't see on. Bottom line, mate, they need to see a market, and the Australian retail market is tough to crack. The fact that they've got a foot in the door at JB's is a big win, but the fact that they haven't expanded the range means they're probably trying. They're just attacking the lowest common denominator, as in the ones that people want the most. So, mate, and let's be real, you are on. You're like a one percenter, not in terms of your income, probably in terms of your marriage, but in terms of tech. You know, you're at the fringe. You know, you're at the bleeding edge. You're not looking for basic lights or shapes here. You're looking for things that 99% of people haven't even considered for their home or place. So I think, unfortunately, that's the cross we bear. It's like I think about the Wemo light switches we've got in our bedrooms upstairs, and, you know, they don't even sell those in Australia anymore. You know, that was 10 years ago I put those in, and it's like I wish I had better ones. But you know what, mate? There are no better ones. There's just you try and find a light switch, a smart light switch in Australia. It's bloody hard. And I'm a bit of a stickler for, especially for high-end electrical stuff like that. I'm not going to buy some rubbish from China. So I'm a bit torn there. I did end up buying some. I think they might have been Meros or another brand. But yeah, very hard to find. And that's the one thing that I most want is switches, because that allows you to
You've got to sacrifice to do the. I've got the Philips Hue smart scene ones. I've just got the new tap and turn one, so I haven't installed that yet, but I'm going to do that shortly.
So what are they?
So they're your options. It's a Philips Hue tap and turn. It's a round dial.
Oh, is it like
broken
kinetic,
up into four?
Kinetic, like the original?
No, it's battery. No, it's batteries.
Still, it's not wired in. It's not hardwired. Yeah.
No, not wired. So that's just compromised. Yeah, correct.
Yeah, right. So tap and turn. Okay, interesting. That's
and you can set up scenes. So you can do four different scene controls, and with the turn, you can adjust dimming as well.
Oh, I'm buying one right now, like literally, because if I put that outside the bathroom, it becomes the bathroom light, and happy days. That's
If you're anything like my wife, though, she never turns the fan off and never turns the light off.
So in our new main bathroom, my wife had a single switch wired for the light, which also powers the fan. Fan's stupidly noisy, so we're replacing that. But it has a timer on it so that when you turn the light off, the fan stays on for 10, 20 minutes and then turns off. But you're right. If you don't turn the light off, you're screwed. But you could set a scene for that. You can set a timer. You could have a sensor in there.
Yeah, you can do a motion sensor if you hook up a smart plug to your fan or something, depending on what style you have.
Have you got sensors in any rooms for lights?
No, most of them are on timers.
Because here's my problem. I had a sensor in the bathroom, right? So it would be that you walk into the bathroom at, you know, 2 o'clock at night, and I had it set so that it was after 8 p.m. and before 6 a.m. If motion detected, turn the light on at like 20% brightness, because, you know, it's the middle of the night. You don't want a brightness. Wake me up. But here's my problem. When does it turn off? Because do I set it so that when it's no motion detected after 1 minute? No, because if you're sitting on the toilet, the light will turn off. So at what point does the light go off? That's my challenge with a sensor.
Sounds like you need the new Akara present sensor.
Is that that little thing that knows exactly where you are in the room?
Correct. Yep.
I've seen that on TikTok. Looks wild.
Yeah, it's only downside is you got to have it powered.
To the wall, like as in, oh, really?
Yeah, it's either USB-C or just an adapter. They sell it in the Australian store, the Ikara store.
See, now I want one. But I didn't put a PowerPoint in anywhere where it could be. I did put a man, you're killing me here. What are you costing me money trying to help you out? And I haven't even helped you out because Govee's a lost cause, mate. No, look, the end of the line is if you really wanted to dig, we need to find out who's distributing Govee in Australia. I don't know how we find that out, yeah. But we need to find out who's distributing them. They're probably bringing in multiple brands, but they're the ones that need to know there's a demand, but they've probably got a fair sense of what's selling and what's not. So, unfortunately, the answer to your original question is good luck. You probably have to buy from the UK.
Yeah.
But you've been amazingly enlightening to me.
But if they bring the products, then people,
build it and they will come. Is that what you're going to try and tell me?
Correct.
Doesn't work that way in retail, unfortunately.
Yeah, I know. It's a pretty hard market.
Yeah, I wouldn't go near it with a 10-foot barge pole. I worry about it.
But even if you can buy it from the States, do what Philips Hue do. Just to go, I want an AU adapter. I want an AU adapter. I want an US right. adapter. And I've put it to Govee as well a couple of times. Oh, we're thinking about it. You said that 2 years ago when I last asked you.
And they're going, oh, man, it's Adrian again. Jesus.
Yeah, that's right.
Just send him one of everything. Mate, it's like Shawshank Redemption. If you write them enough times, maybe you'll get the answer you want. So if you write them a letter a week for the next 5 years, maybe they'll just send you one of everything.
Yeah, I'll see. I'll try.
Can someone send Stephen Fennick a note that I referenced a movie, please? Just did a great job referencing a movie. Adrian, good luck with your lights, mate. You've got a much better setup than me and a much more forgiving wife.
No worries, mate. Thanks for the call.
Cheers, buddy. Anytime. Good on you. I love my wife and I have no issues, but it's just funny how she really – we had an argument last night. She had to pay ID my son some money she owed him, and she goes, I don't understand this pay ID rubbish. I refuse to do it. I said, my direct quote was, babe, it's cute when you do this whole I don't like technology thing, but it's also silly. So let's just work it out. And 5 minutes later, she had signed up for PayID. She had transferred the money. It was all working. But it's just funny, given who she's married to. Welcome to the EFTM podcast.
It might sound crazy what I'm about to say. Trevor Long's the world's best techie.
He's a nerd. That's me.
He's the kind of guy we picked on at school.
Oh, I didn't.
And it wasn't fair, but he don't care. He's cool today.
According to himself.
Call him techie. Trevor Long's such a nerd. Check him out if you need the proof. Call him techie. Trevor Long knows all gadgets.
Yep, I was trying to clap in time and then it just sounded like I was applauding. That was weird and awkward. Super excited that the EV9 is here. It's at the dealership. Aaron's back at work and probably could get it this week. Really excited. Got to organise tinting. So that's my afternoon. Insurance and tinting. Got to get those organised. And then I got to text my man who does the dash cam installs and say, mate, remember how you installed that dash cam in my group, bro? I got another one. Bloke's getting business out of me, you know, two cars in 6 months. I certainly won't be buying any new cars for a few years, will I? Damn. But I'm very excited about the Kia EV9. It's going to be a game changer for us and, you know, it's going to save us $3,000 a year in petrol costs and in time hopefully contribute to the energy sustainability of our whole home. So really excited about that and can't wait to take a snap of that once I get – only when I get the tinting on though. There'll be no photos until the tinting's on because with the black on the back, it's going to look good. Great car. Thanks for listening and thanks for getting in touch and all the people that got in touch. I appreciate it. The EFTM app is still available to download, of course. It is so much faster. Thank you to Ben for doing huge work in the background on the app speed. I met with James, the app developer, the other day. Good to see him in Sydney. And I plotted plans for the future. So I have plans for the future now. I have to write them down now and coordinate with some other people who are involved. But I have plans. That's the main thing. It's good to have plans, don't you think? If you have recommendations of features, improvements, ways I can do things differently, I'm always open to them. Some of them burn, some of them hurt, some of them stick. But it's always good to hear from you. Feedback is good. I work in an environment where no one gives me feedback because I don't have a boss. I'm my own boss. And I'm my own worst critic too. Sometimes nice to hear good stuff. Sometimes important to hear challenging stuff. I don't mind. Send it my way. I'm good for it. Thanks for listening, folks. And we'll do it all again next week.